We have a real treat for you today. We're bringing somebody out from under hiding and letting him talk publicly. He's been missing in action for 5 years. This is my friend Don Box, distinguished engineer at Microsoft. Hello, Don.
Hey, MJ, how you doing?
I'm good. How
good.
About you? It's so nice to see you again after 5 years.
It's fantastic seeing you as well.
Thank you. Thanks. So I just wanted to start this by having you explain, where the heck have you been for 5 years?
So I've been busy building products.
Okay.
It's funny, I've given a couple talks in the last month, and I was up on stage in China, and I realized, wait a second, I haven't done this for like 5 years.
Yeah.
So I've been pretty busy. I would say the last 5 years have been an interesting journey. I went to work at Xbox.
Yep.
Beginning of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time we're very focused on building Xbox One.
Right.
It was a very secret project, so there was no public, engagement whatsoever. I actually did wind up giving a couple talks, but they were at NDA events.
Okay.
And so we shipped Xbox One, and then I went to go work in OSG on the broader OS. We've been working on the Windows 10 thing, and we finally, I've been starting to tell our story this calendar year, and that's what kind of brought me out.
Yeah, that's great. I have to tell a little story, because my job is, I'm a reporter. When Don went to the Xbox team, I knew you went to the Xbox team, and a lot of us who were watching Microsoft at the time were speculating, what's he doing on the Xbox team? Like, here's a guy who's been working on things like declarative programming languages and all that kind of stuff, and suddenly he's on the Xbox team.
Yeah, it was definitely a bit of a non sequitur.
It was.
I was on this project called Oslo. Oslo wound down. And I kind of, roamed the earth of Microsoft, figure out what I wanted to do next. And I went to go work for Ray Ozzie.
Oh, really?
And Ray's, we had this project called Scotch, which is a TV project. We became part of Xbox.
Okay.
And then we wound up, doing Smart Glass and then Xbox One. And it was really just, it was about people.
Yeah.
Meeting Ray Ozzie was a big deal.
Yeah.
Meeting Boyd Molter was great.
Yeah.
So I just found these people I wanted to go work with.
Right.
And I followed the people as opposed to the tech.
Yep. Part of the way I found out what you were doing is I looked up your LinkedIn profile.
Uh-oh.
And there were some things on there that was good, that was helpful. But now you have a title besides Distinguished Engineer that's kind of complex and involves silicon, right? And graphics.
On Xbox One, I was the dev manager for the OS team, for the platform team.
Okay.
So we did everything from kernel, silicon, graphics, media, everything. And then, when we kind of changed the way we're building the operating systems, I wound up, I was happy to become the guy who's in charge of all of the silicon, graphics, and media for all the products.
So what does that mean, actually? What do you do in that role?
So what my team does is we deliver the graphics stack. So DirectX 12 is obviously a big initiative for us. And we deliver that on all the products, right? So we do that on PCs, on phones, on Xbox, on HoloLens, on the IoT SKUs, on everything.
Okay.
We also have the media stacks, all of the audio. Basically, if you can see it or hear it, someone on my team made it happen.
Okay.
Because all of the visual and audio output on the box goes through my team.
Okay.
And then all of just the grungy silicon stuff. Whenever, Intel or Qualcomm or a silicon vendor has a new piece of silicon, someone's got to go do the bring up.
Right.
And that's what my team does.
Okay.
And, it's kind of like a generalization of what we did on Xbox, where we had exactly one piece of silicon, exactly one product we had to go build.
Mm-hmm.
This project's actually much more complex, simply because we're balancing, multiple silicon bring ups, multiple products.
Right.
And so that's what I do.
Okay. How much are you involved in what we've heard a lot here at Build about, which is the universal app platform? I mean, how does that play in with what you guys do?
Well, so it's a huge part of my job.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm responsible for is kind of driving the componentization and structuring the operating system to make sure we can satisfy all these products.
Okay.
If you look at how we built Windows Phone 8 and Xbox One when we originally built them, you had different groups doing very isolated partitioning of the operating system.
Okay.
So if you look at the subset of Windows that ships in Windows Phone 8, and you look at the subset of Windows that ships on Xbox One, there's a lot of overlap, but there's a lot of somewhat different decisions.
Right.
And one of the things I wanted to do when we set up OSG was I wanted to make sure that we could do that in a structured way, in a way that would help everybody.
Right.
Because if, as we saw things like, you know, Athens, which is the IoT edition, if we look at HoloLens, you know, we were about to, you know, explode the combinatorics of the ways we combine, you know, the Windows code base. So, so what we do is we basically, you know, at the beginning of the project, we put all the cards on the table, looked at all the products we had to go build, and then kind of figured out how to stratify the OS in such a way that we would have a predictable platform that would span all of these devices.
Here at this conference, one of the biggest announcements was around iOS and Android developers and how Microsoft's trying to bring them to the platform.
Yes.
How is that going to change what constitutes the common core and the common underlying platform? Is it going to change it at all?
I don't know that it has a deep impact on the core platform. I mean, the core platform there is to go run code.
Right.
The fact that we're able to go run Android code or iOS code is a virtue of the fact the platform's pretty general purpose.
Okay.
Right, so I don't know that, you know, there's a lot of deep changes we're making in the OS that accrues to everyone else.
Okay.
I mean, we're absolutely committed to going to make those code bases work well on Windows. But I think in terms of the general way the system works, you know, we definitely have our own platform.
Yeah, okay. I wish we had a Surface Hub right here, because I remember you used to always draw these amazing architectural diagrams to explain things.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to still get my head around the idea of, with this common core and common store and all, what do these new layers look like, right? So I know there's the universal platform app platform layer. There's also a universal driver framework, right? Where does that fit in also with that?
Well, fundamentally, we have a bunch of operating system code that we build.
Right.
And it has a surface area that is exposed to ISVs, which is the app platform.
Right.
It has a surface area that's exposed to IHVs and silicon vendors, which is the driver and device platform. It's the same product.
Yep.
It's not like we have two different platforms.
Right.
I mean, we have Windows 10.
Yeah.
And in many ways, a lot of what Windows 10 has been about is coming up with a way to think about our code base and our product line such that we have a consistent platform for ISVs, for app developers, and for game developers.
Yep.
And a consistent platform for device makers, IHVs, and silicon vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So, It's really a manifestation about the way we're constructing the operating system.
Okay.
I don't know if that helps or not.
It does. I'm kind of thinking back and showing my age here a little on this, but I remember when you guys were building Windows 7 and the whole idea about MinWin, right? And how you guys were trying to decouple things that were all kind of enmeshed in Windows and make it kind of make more sense, right? Separate things out so you could basically set up for what you're doing now. I'm curious how you feel that's evolved and how does that play out?
I would say Windows 10 is the next natural step in the evolution.
Okay.
Like if you, MinWin was ages ago.
It was.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was the first stab I think we took at kind of stratifying the operating system and coming up with more discipline about dependency management and layering.
Right.
You know, each iteration we've done more and more of that.
Yep.
Certainly when we built Xbox One, right, we benefited from a lot of the evolution of that work, which at the time I think was called Core System.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Right.
And we certainly built on top of that and came up with our own partitioning, as did the phone team.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if I look at Windows 10, it's the generalization of that next layer in the strata, right, that actually is a layering that makes sense for all of these client SKUs to be able to have a single way to go write an app that runs on, you know, all of these devices that we love to talk about.
Okay.
So it's a natural evolution of that work.
Yeah. With Xbox One, though, at some point you're going to bring Windows 10 to that platform in some way, right?
Yes.
Can you say anything about that right now?
Well, to be clear, and I think we've been pretty open about it, we run a version of Windows 8 on it today.
Right. Yes.
So if you're playing, you know, your Xbox One, there's a copy of Windows 8. In fact, we run three operating systems on that box. But the one that, you know, kind of people focus on is the system OS, which is where the shell runs, it's where all the apps run, it's where a lot of the system services run. That is based on a snap of Windows 8 that we took back in 2012, right? And we're in the process, of course, just of bringing that code base into Windows 10.
Yep.
And, you know, we're making good progress on it. I think, you know, it's very promising. I think we're all pretty excited about it. And the promise of being able to do it is we will have the same code base, the same API surface area, the same behavior across Xbox as well as these other devices.
I mean, so is it oversimplified to say there might be a case where somebody wants to run an enterprise app on Xbox and they could do it? I mean, I know there are things you could do versus what makes sense, right?
Well, I mean, it's a great question. If we're talking about an existing enterprise app, yeah. somebody wrote in WinForms or WPF, any of the technologies yeah. we all know and love for enterprise guys, the answer is that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Right. I'll just let me just start
just
there.
Just say that.
again, when we talk about stratifying the operating system, what we did for Windows 10 was we identified a line of shared functionality, shared components, and shared APIs yep. and DDIs that make sense on every single device.
Okay.
Right. And that did not include all the things it takes to go run enterprise apps.
Right.
Those things, like the things it takes to go make WPF and, right. and WinForms work, yeah. certainly ship on the desktop SKUs, but that's yeah. the only place they ship.
Okay.
Just like there's things that only ship on the phone
right.
editions. And yep. there will be things that only ship on the Xbox edition and
right.
so on and so forth.
Yep.
So, really, if you look at the app platform as we talk about it, and we spent yeah. a lot of time talking about it at Build,
yeah.
that is the shared bet.
Right.
Right. Apps that target that platform are the ones that will run that span all these devices.
Okay.
That stated, there's a lot of things that run on PCs that are going to continue to run on PCs, yeah. thank God.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Same for phones, same for Xbox One.
Right. Yep. Okay. I've been watching the couple recent keynotes that you did. You did, like you said, one in China for WinHack, and you also did one at GDC. I forget which one it was. One of them you talked about the Microsoft Glove. Could you share a little more on that?
I needed an analogy. I was talking about this stratification of the OS
right.
and the fact that we have this common platform
right.
that we deploy to all these different form factors.
Right.
And I was saying, I needed an N plus one form factor. I thought shoulder pads or chastity belt would probably not have been appropriate for that talk.
Maybe not.
So I held my hand out and I said the glove. I know of no project that is a Microsoft glove.
Okay, really?
Really.
Okay.
Honest engine, buy a stack of Bibles.
I was sitting there
Perjury.
Watching your talk, and all of a sudden, I was kind of half listening at one point, and I heard Microsoft Glove, and I'm like, Don, just announce the Microsoft
and
Glove.
And I realized as soon as I said it that it's entirely possible there is a Microsoft Glove, and I'm going to get hate mail from some VP when I got back.
Right. I get what you're saying, though. It was like in the vein of HoloLens, right? Because there are all these other devices you're building this common platform for, even some that aren't even built yet,
yeah.
that it's going to run on.
Yes.
I thought it was funny, though, because I started immediately searching for the glove.
I have not yet
found it.
MJ, if you find the Microsoft glove, I will sign it for you.
Okay.
I'll pose in a picture with you with it. I would love nothing more than to have a Microsoft glove, but I know of no such device.
Okay. I'm still kind of curious about this Xbox move that you made in your career, the shift to the Xbox. And first I was wondering if you are a gamer or have become a gamer.
No, I'm absolutely a gamer.
You are, yeah.
I remember I joined the company back in 2002 within a month of the original Xbox launching.
Oh, yeah.
And part of the whole recruiting mm-hmm. is I got they were nice enough to send me an Xbox.
Nice.
We were an Xbox household,
yeah.
independent of all this.
Uh-huh.
I play a lot of Xbox. I'm a fairly narrow gamer. I only play whatever the most recent Call of Duty is.
Okay.
So I'm reasonably good, but if you follow me on Xbox Live, my gamer score is not all that high, simply because first-person shooters typically don't reward lots of global gamer score.
Ah, okay.
So my reputation is actually greater if you're in Call of Duty okay. universe as opposed to being in the broader population.
Are you sharing your gamer tag today or not?
It's Gwidboy.
Okay.
So.
I recalling when you went to Xbox, everybody was thinking maybe because I also know you're a musician. I think you still play
yeah.
also, right? And I was kind of curious if you were going to do something with Xbox Music or if you got involved in that at all.
I had nothing to do with Xbox Music.
No. Okay.
Yeah. And again, it was the reason I fell into Xbox was not because I was a hardcore gamer and always aspired to do
yeah,
that. It was
sure.
I wanted to go work with those people, right?
Yeah,
I met people on entrance and then... once I was in, it only got better.
Right.
And the experiences I had building Xbox One with all these people who are so much smarter than me, I just learned so much. It was fantastic.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. Can you talk at all about things that you learned doing the Xbox operating system that you think are very much applicable to these other platforms? Like, are there things the Xbox team was kind of pushing the envelope on or doing that has benefited now, like phone and the Surface Hub and HoloLens even?
That's an interesting question. We certainly, if I look at the deep bets we made on Xbox One, which we're watching kind of like bear fruit on
right.
the broader platform, some people know this, some people don't. Xbox One runs three operating systems
right.
simultaneously.
Yep.
right? We basically boot a very minimal host OS,
right.
Which runs the hypervisor, and then we launch the system OS, which is where all the apps run.
Yep.
And then we have this very tuned partition, another VM,
yep.
where we run the games. We did that for a variety of reasons. One of the biggest reasons we did it was we wanted resource partitioning,
yep.
right? Because if you look at the console programming environment, right, you have this fixed function hardware that mm-hmm. lives for multiple years, mm-hmm. And developers are very used to having nothing else happening on the box.
Right.
Like when you run an Xbox 360 game, it's as if we've effectively rebooted the machine.
Right.
Right. There's not a lot of other Microsoft code running right. when you're playing Call of Duty on your 360. And so we wanted to be able to give that kind of resource isolation and guarantees. Mm-hmm. And we looked at the tools that were available to us at the time, and that was the most expedient way to do it, which was to basically use a VM to go enforce it.
Yep.
And if we look at things like in DirectX 12, mm-hmm. DirectX 12 today, which is on both Xbox One, is coming to Xbox One and coming to Windows 10.
Right.
It will ship with Windows 10.
Yep.
Those same ideas of having dedicated resource allocations that a game can predictably know, I need this page of memory, it's going to be there for me, no matter what else is happening on the box, this yes. is mine and it will stay mine.
Yeah.
Those ideas, we're kind of starting to see, become more generalized.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the biggest, thing that yeah. happened in Xbox One that I kind of see, moving forward.
Yeah. Well, I remember when you guys first talked about the architecture of the Xbox One operating system, when we started hearing about the virtualization and we knew Dave Cutler had been working on that, it was suddenly like, oh, wait, there's three operating systems on here, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to be the case on other devices, right? I mean,
oh, no.
No.
No. I mean, look, the we used a very, very coarse-grained tool
right.
to enforce the resource boundaries,
yep.
and it was the right thing for the time on that product.
Yep.
As a general model, I think that we have more knobs and tools that we can go deploy.
Yeah.
Using something as coarse-grained as a VM,
yeah.
I don't think is the general model.
Right. Okay.
But it was great for Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, we could not have built the product had we not done that.
Yeah.
But I think, as we go forward, yep. being able to put more resource isolation in the OS is probably a more promising thing. And we're seeing it now with DirectX. With DX12.
Things have probably changed a lot, too, from when you started working on Xbox to now, right, in terms of what Microsoft's relationship is with gamers and game developers, especially. Because I know one of the examples here they talked about at Build was that Candy Crush Saga was built using this new iOS tool that Microsoft has. And just a few years ago, you can't even imagine Microsoft really having a conversation with King, right? It's, I don't know, I couldn't, but.
Okay.
Maybe you were, but.
I wasn't, but.
No. So now you're doing more around Unity, and you're doing a lot around bringing game developers into the fold, however they want to come to the platforms, right? How's that changed the relationship, like Microsoft's relationship with game developers, in your opinion?
It's a great question. I think in general, people are happy to see the things we're doing.
Yeah.
The reaction to us really embracing Unity has been really, really strong.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction to the work we're doing on DirectX 12 has been really strong. Bringing Xbox Live more broadly. I mean, we're definitely, especially with the Windows 10 release, we're putting a lot of energy and effort into making sure that game developers can succeed and can make money on our platform.
Right.
And so, I think in general it's positive. We get feedback, it's great.
Yep.
The feedback is not always positive, which is
right.
great. Otherwise
right.
it would just be, a bunch
true.
Of fanboys, which
right.
wouldn't be very productive.
Yeah, true.
So, no, I think the conversation has been going really well.
Yeah. What did you think when Microsoft bought Minecraft? Were you puzzled? Did you think it was a great idea?
I mean, I found out about it the same time everyone else
okay.
did. It blew my mind. I mean, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, in terms of having an asset that, touches, many, 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 many
yeah.
millions of people's lives,
mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic thing to have in the family.
Yep.
So.
Have you tried the HoloLens, by the way?
I have not tried the HoloLens recently.
Yeah. I tried it in January when I was there for the Windows 10 event. And one of the things I got to try it with was Minecraft. And surprisingly, I'm not a Minecraft player. I know you probably find that hard to believe, but I still found it really cool and interesting. I think it's going to be interesting to see the whole new audience of kind of developers, customers that this brings to Microsoft and how that fits in with other things that you're doing there, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's It's fascinating. I mean, obviously the tech is super advanced, and the last time I used it, which was a while back, it's pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And it just accrues value to everything else. I mean, the fact that you can write a universal Windows app and run it on HoloLens is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the technology, you know, is getting mixed up with the rest of the products. It's actually a pretty healthy melting pot.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, okay, what else do you
want? But of course, Mary Jo, the glove will be so much better.
The glove is going to be amazing. I'm sure it will.
The glove will.
The glove will be the new Project G, since
I think we can coin that.
We
project
can just start
right
that.
Now.
Yeah. What else do you feel like people, you know, you've been kind of not able to speak publicly for a number of years. What do you, publicly to us, I should say, what do you think we don't understand right now, us being the Microsoft community, about where you guys are going with the underlying platform, the underlying technology? Like, what don't we quite get that you want us to get?
Oh, when I read, you know, people's reactions to when we go off and do these press things, I think people mostly get it.
Do you? Yeah.
We are incredibly serious about succeeding. I mean, Windows 10, you know, is a massive investment for us. It's a massive bet, and we could not be more all in.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, it's exciting. It's thrilling.
Yeah.
As thrilling as Xbox One was, where we basically went from nothing, you know, from a hardware spec.
Right.
To, you know, having a product with three operating systems running on it and
yeah.
shipping and
shipped, yeah.
you know, Black Friday and all that. This project is comparably exciting, in some ways more exciting, because it's just like, mm-hmm. you know, we're bringing the A game. We're
right.
bringing everything to bear,
yep.
you know, to make sure that we have a great Windows 10 launch.
Yep.
So it's really exciting.
Yep. Any more hints? Code names? Anything you want to drop on the audience? You know, you're usually good for a hint or two, besides the glove, that is.
Well, I mean, my problem is I don't do public stuff. I'm
right.
so heads down shipping the stuff that, you know,
yeah.
you know, I've got the wall that's in front of me that I have to make sure
exactly.
I can break through. there's not a lot of futuristic stuff I'm spending time on that
okay.
we haven't already disclosed.
Okay.
Because, you know, we've made a lot of announcements, and now it's time
yes.
to go make it real.
Exactly. Well, thanks, Don. This was really great.
Thank you, but I have to ask a couple questions.
Uh-oh.
So, I love watching you and Paul and Leo Laporte on that show.
Windows Weekly?
Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called.
I watch that every once in a while. It is just fantastic. What is Leo Laporte really like?
He's a really good guy, actually.
Is he like he sounds on the radio?
He is. He's totally like he sounds on the radio.
Fantastic.
He's not a big Microsoft fan.
I know.
But we do our best to try to educate him and keep him in the loop.
You know, we can get him a free copy of Windows 10.
Could you?
That is within my authority.
Nice. I've heard some people get it for free, but I'm sure he would get a better free copy.
I can get him two.
Two? Woo!
Yes.
Okay.
Fantastic.
We'll tell him. We'll tell him, because we're going to see him this week.
Great. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Don.
Great.